I wonder if you've been watching the Winter Olympics recently. Not very many medals at the moment, is it? One gold. Did we get anything in the women's skeleton yesterday? No. One. But it's gold, so that's pretty exciting. We have it on in the house every evening at the moment. It's actually something that we're watching as a family. My son Thomas doesn't have much patience for much on television, but the sheer excitement that comes with the Winter Olympics, curling accepted, really catches his attention. So he's been watching the half pipe, you know, the snowboarding half pipe and the ski jumping and the luge and the skeleton, which is terrifying, and I have no idea how they do it. All of this real excitement. And I was thinking as I was preparing for today and the thoughts of the readings that we've had today, that all of these things that we hear described in our readings today happen on mountains. The Winter Olympics too is up mountains, because you have to be, that's where you find snow. Everyone's gone up a bunch of really high mountains and experienced this extreme situation, which is all of this snow and ice. And the experience of it, certainly for everybody there, is that it's thrilling and it's wonderful, but it's horrendously dangerous as well. Comparing the difference between the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics in terms of injuries suffered and what happens to people. I don't know how anybody ever goes skiing. I'm sorry. I know many of you probably do. You're great skiers, I'm sure. You will never find me skiing down a mountain, because I like my legs in one piece. Thank you. It's intense, it's extreme. Mountains are always places of extremes. They are places of extreme temperature, they're places of extreme weather. You can do extreme things up them. And it is no surprise to us, maybe, that the place where people go to encounter God, in the Bible and outside of the Bible, we know that this is something that is replicated across cultures, is up mountains. We go up mountains to get closer to God. And I don't think it's anything about the height of them. I mean, maybe that's part of the experience. It's not because we want to get physically higher, as if God is somewhere in the atmosphere. That's not really it. Mountains become places of specialness. They are extreme. They are isolated. They are hard to get up. Nobody ever climbed, we were talking about this in our Bible study group on Thursday, nobody ever climbs a mountain by accident. Nobody climbs a mountain because you're on your way somewhere else. You avoid them. You go around them. Even if you go through a mountain range, you're going through a gap. You're going through a pass. Nobody ever climbed up a mountain just because. Just because you were finding your way somewhere else. People climb mountains because they choose to. Because something is going to happen there. Maybe you're going to have an experience of climbing. People climb mountains to say that they've climbed them these days. But all through history, people have encountered God on mountains. And they've chosen that place and that time. And there is something so important and primal about that, I think. The places where people encounter God in our Bible readings today. First of all, on Mount Sinai. Moses climbs up that mountain. He's up there for 40 days and 40 nights, a little longer than it's been raining. It's been raining for 37 days and nights, if you've been counting. He climbs a mountain and he stays there. He stays there and he waits. He waits for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, suddenly a voice comes to him out of the cloud and he is summoned in there. And he has this encounter with God. An encounter that nobody else has a chance to. Moses is the only one who is actually standing in front of God in all of the Old Testament. He is the only one who gets to be in the presence of God like that. And the appearance of God, the glory of the Lord, is like a devouring fire, we hear, on the top of this mountain. The most extreme of all possible experiences. This is where he encounters God. And similarly, when the disciples come to have this amazing experience of Jesus showing who he is, it is up a mountain. Jesus summons those closest of his disciples, Peter and James and John, and he says, climb a mountain with me. Come, because I'm going to show you something. And he does. They see Jesus as he really is. They follow him up that mountain. They make that hard climb. And there they have revealed to them something that they could never have imagined seeing. And they don't understand it, is the other thing. Here is Jesus revealed to them, shining white, his clothes suddenly a dazzling bright to see. His face shines like the sun. It's extraordinary. Here, on one hand and on the other, are Moses and Elijah, these two amazing forefathers of the Jewish faith. And the disciples don't know what to do with it. Peter's wonderful, wonderful human response of, oh, shall I build you a house? Really speaks, I think, to his absolute overwhelmed senses. He has no idea what to do with this sudden appearance. And God speaks. This is my son, the beloved. I am well pleased with him. Listen to him. God shows himself. God shows himself to Moses on that mountain in Exodus. He shows himself through Jesus. Jesus shows that divine quality of himself to those disciples. And he gives them that encounter. Now for us, I think it's one of those parts of our experiences that many of us, not all of us, many of us, though, have experiences of encountering the presence of God in a way that we hold on to, just like Peter holds on to that experience. It is no surprise that when Peter is writing to encourage the churches, his second letter of Peter we heard this morning, when he's writing to them, he says, listen, we didn't make all of this up. We didn't have cleverly devised myths, he says, to try to bamboozle you, to try to persuade you to behave in a certain way. We're telling you the truth. And let me share with you this experience that I had. I saw it with my own eyes. Jesus, right there. The voice of God. I was there. I heard it. That's what he's held on to. All of these years, this is the experience that he's been carrying with him. He saw Jesus on the cross. He saw the resurrected Christ come to be with them. But is this experience of being up a mountain, hearing the voice of God, seeing Jesus as he truly is, that Peter holds on to? And I think it's an anchor point. It's one of those extraordinary experiences that changes us, changed him, changed how he saw the world, and he held on to it. In our lives too, I think we have anchor points of our experiences with God, where we can look back and we say, that was a moment where I felt that God touched me. That was a moment where I knew, a moment of certainty, a moment of reassurance and strength, when God came close to me and I experienced that. The first time I experienced that, I was 14 years old and I was praying at night and I felt the presence of God come to me. And it was like being wrapped in a blanket. It was like being surrounded with love. It was just a warmth and a sureness. And I remember saying to myself, I'm going to get slightly emotional because it is. I remember saying to myself, in this moment, I never need to be unsure again. I never need to. In the future, I'm going to hold on to this moment and I'll remind myself, because right now I know, I never need to doubt that God is real, he is there and he loves me. In that moment, I had no doubt in my heart at all. And that is an anchor point for me. And I carry it with me. Have you had an experience like that? If you have, value that, hold on to it. If you have not, that isn't to say that it's not going to come. And it's not to say that you're not going to have a moment. And the reason that Peter offers that shared experience to us, and the reason that we have it there in Scripture, is so that that can be our anchor point as well. He says, this has meant so much to me. It changed me. It made me realize the truth. It can be your anchor point as well. Hold on to this. Jesus showed himself. I saw it. I'm promising you. I witnessed it. Carry that with you. Here is the proof that you need. Here is the anchor that you need. And I think as we head into Lent, it's important that we hold on to those anchor points. But also, I think, we can do that thing of seeking them. We can do that thing of looking to encounter God. In Lent, we deliberately spend time in prayer and we spend time reading the Bible. We spend time putting ourselves in God's presence. because we know he is there and that he will come to us. Those experiences are ours if we are ready to come to God and ask for them and to look for them. We can climb those mountains. And we do that. Maybe you can physically climb a mountain, because I think it's probably a really good way of getting focused and getting yourself in a frame of mind to get ready to encounter God. But we can do it in our everyday as well. In those moments where we say, I'm going to take this time and I'm going to take away my distractions and I'm going to take some scripture or I'm going to take a prayer and I'm going to focus. These are our mountains. These are our moments of seeking God and seeking those anchor points that can hold us and reassure us and encourage us for the days to come. In Lent, we are seeking them. So don't be shy. Don't be reticent about seeking to climb that mountain. Reading scripture is an awful lot less dangerous than skiing, I promise. But it can be as intense if we're ready to encounter our living God in it. So take the time and encounter God this Lent. Amen.